Meanwhile, at Wimbledon, it's men's semi-finals day, which 52 years ago featured Britain's Roger Taylor at a time when tennis looked to be tearing itself apart. 81 of the world's top players boycotted the tournament in a dispute over money and the running of the game. Taylor chose to defy that boycott despite receiving threats from friends and colleagues, as he explains in a new book, The Man Who Saved Wimbledon. But his semi-final against Jan Kodesh didn't end well, as he told me when we met at the All England Club yesterday.
Who was going to stand up for Wimbledon, for Great Britain, for British tennis? So I was number one in Britain, member of the club. Obviously, I wanted to support my country. And don't forget, the House of Commons and House of Lords were all involved. We had letters from the LTA, don't ignore British justice, and that kind of thing. But I just thought, this is it, I'm going to play.
And then you got to the semi-final. Take us there. There you were, Britain's number one, in a very disputed tournament, and you were on the cusp of, surely, your crowning glory to reach a final and hopefully win. What happened?
Yeah, that was amazing because I had to try to hold myself together all the way through the tournament from the beginning because I'm saying to myself, well, it's okay to support the tournament, but what if I lose in the first round? You know, your negative thoughts are coming in. And then, lo and behold, I'm in the semi-finals and I'm almost going to win this thing. We came off court with 5-4. I'm leading. It was dark. It was damp. There were no lights, there was no roof. 42 minutes later, when they finally called us to put us on, I'd already decided they weren't going to do that and we'd play tomorrow. And that was the problem. I'd started to wind down. Off we went again. You didn't think of saying, no, I'm not going to go. You just didn't have that support. You didn't have an agent. You didn't have even a friend, a wife, anybody in the changing room.
Oh, you can almost hear the dampness of feeling amongst the crowd now. Suffering. They've waited for this. It was such a great match, and here is their hero going out.
And out you went, and in 8 minutes it was gone. He won three games, and that was it.
That was it, yeah, and I'd lost the focus of concentration.
Can Taylor still live? To the forehand, return cross court, and out.
Game, set,
it's
and match
all over.
Wimbledon didn't have the same feel for me then after that.
You talk about how no one came to see you, whereas nowadays lots of people would be there. There'd be family, friends, coaches and so on. Thinking of another British left-hander, someone like Jack Draper, what similarities do you see? Model good looks. What future do you see for him? Is he ever going to get as high as Sinner and Alcaraz? Has he got that talent?
Yes, I think he has got the talent. We don't know enough about his character. And that's what's going to pull him through. You know, he obviously tries hard, his matches, a good competitor, but the fighting spirit, the hanging on to play these long matches, and he seems very dedicated and wants to do it.
What about these semi-finals then? Sinner versus Djokovic. Let's take that one first. How would you see coming through there?
Sinner is one of the rising stars. They've already beaten him, I think, on the way through, so they're not afraid of him. Djokovic, again, I just see in him a fantastic player. Perhaps if he could start a bit quicker. He plays on the baseline that first set and lets everybody play themselves in. And then he starts playing. I think Djokovic has got a good chance. He looks good. He's fit. With a record like that, he believes he can win.
Which, if, as you've just said, mindset is key. And then we come to Alcaraz, the defending champion, who just never stops winning at the moment. This extraordinary run since April up against the American Taylor Fritz. What do you reckon there? Can anyone really stop Alcaraz?
Taylor Fritz is very good. He's done very well this year. He's number one in America. He's got a good serve. So he can, but Alcaraz, you know, those players come along like that. It doesn't matter what people tell you. They don't have any weaknesses. How are you going to win? Sinner might match him, we don't know. He's going along strongly. Once they're going to have a rivalry, aren't they, at the moment?
One other key question. So Jannik Sinner or Carlos Alcaraz, have they got what it takes to be a James Bond like you auditioned for? Hey, have they got it to be 007?
Not with the red hair, no. Sinner, he's not going to make it. But I think Carlos could. He could make it. And they've got to practice. Hello, my name's James Bond.
Roger Taylor, very good. You should have got the part I told you. But anyway, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you. Great. Thank you, Jonathan.
How many people get an audition to be James Bond and then don't turn up for the second audition?
Yeah, why? Did he tell you?
Yes, his wife said that's not what you need to be doing.
I love
so
that.
So quite rightly, as a man who did things very much by his own book, he never had a coach, he started late and so on. And then he actually met, in the book, it's great, he was in a bar in California and who was sitting next to him looking a bit worse for wear? George Lazenby, the man who got the job instead of Roger
Instead
Taylor.
Instead of him.
There you go.
I love the idea of him.
Roger Taylor, the man who saved Wimbledon with Marcus Buckland. Great read, very good.
Mm. I love the idea of her saying, you know, come on, love, you don't need
it,
to be
It is a wife's job to crush dreams and bring everybody right back down to earth.
Now batten that shirt up, okay? Too much chest hair.
People aren't watching, they're only listening, Jonathan, but thank you. Now, let's move on to